Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I was thinking about this as I was in bed last night, as it took me many hours to get to sleep, all the adrenaline going from having my house almost burned down. And I was thinking about how the good things in life generally occur fairly slowly and happen in a planned fashion. They unfold that way. And, getting married, having kids, all those kind of things. The impactful good things happen. Vacations, whatever they are. You see them coming, you plan for them.
You grind in that direction, and finally you get there.
The really awful things that happen in your life seem to come out of the blue and are often over in a couple of seconds or minutes, and you spend the rest of your life thinking, what the hell was that? Or I should have done this, or whatever. And, horrifying accidents, crimes, all that sort of stuff, they unfold so quickly. And we had that happen with a fire on our property yesterday. We live on 20 acres. And we live in a part of the country where it's, you know, incredible dry grass. We have basically the same landscape as they did up in Paradise, California, where you hear about that town getting wiped out last year and all those people dying. And everybody's very careful about it. And there are rules to follow and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, you just always assume it's going to happen to somebody else. And we don't know how this started. Still haven't figured that out yet. But I'm laying in bed with Henry, my youngest, getting him to sleep. It's about 7:30. Coming off a medical procedure the last couple of days. He's on a lot of medicine. I'm hanging out with him. And my son Sam comes in the room and starts waving his arms. And I said, shh, be quiet. You know, I didn't know what he needed. You know, right. The dog has peed on the floor or whatever.
Sure.
Shh. And he's like waving his arm. No, don't speak. And I get up. I get up quietly as Henry's about to go to sleep and come out. He said, the field's on fire. I said, the what? The field's on fire. So I go out the door. And I see over, and there's a lot of smoke over there on the front of our field, looking manageable-ish, not good because I've heard about how these things can spread and whatnot, and it's windy, and this is going to be a crisis, and I start jogging toward it, kind of thinking, okay, what am I going to do about this exactly? And I'm thinking about where are hose bibs and where are hoses and what can I turn on and off and how big a deal is this exactly and all that. And I said, have you called the fire department? And Laura's on the phone right then. Yeah, I'm on 911. I've called the fire department. And I'll sort of say, okay, so I'm thinking, okay, I need to. And I start jogging over. Well, I could get a hose. I remember I turned and I think I could get that hose and hook them together. Maybe it would reach part. And then when I turn back around, it's 10 times as big as it was 20 seconds ago.
Oh,
and that amount of time, it was okay. This is full on. Okay. So then I realize, okay, the fire department's going to be coming, and I'm thinking they got to get in some gates. And I jump in my truck and I'm going down. I'm going to open up gates so they can get in the property somehow, because they wouldn't know where to drive in.
Right.
And by the time I get in my truck and I come down the driveway, it's twice as big as it was a minute ago. And it's just so much smoke everywhere. And it's so hard to see and even have any idea what's going on and how big the fire is. And when I get around to the front of the property, I get on the other side of the wind, I can see how big it is. And it is quite a large fire. It probably covers a quarter of an acre at that point. And, I get around and the fire people start arriving. Thank God. And I mean, this made all the difference in the world. If I lived a couple of miles down the road, I probably wouldn't have a home. I live a couple of golf shots away from a volunteer fire department.
Oh, boy.
And they got over there with trucks pretty damn fast. And they are really good at what they do.
So it must be one of those volunteer places that's staffed.
I don't know. I didn't nail down how that even worked. Because usually they blow a whistle. We hear the whistle all the time, and people come driving in who are part of the volunteer fire department, and they go do their thing. I don't know if there are people already there or if they got there that fast. I don't have any idea. I know one guy is a neighbor of ours that I'd never met before. He later said to my wife, he said, yeah, my wife said, I think it's the place that's got the goats. We got to get over there. They got a lot of goats.
Mm.
But Laura had run around and opened the gates for all the animals and was gathering up stuff, and I went over and started to trying to deal with the fire a little bit, and it was moving so fast. It was so loud. That was one thing it was surprising to me. It was just crushingly loud. Like, you couldn't yell and be heard.
The roar of the
roar
crackling
of the fire.
And,
yeah, wow. It was just a, and wow. It moved so fast across the field and got to this line of trees we've got along our really long driveway, and these green, well-watered trees just turned into bombs, just flame bombs. It was like, how is this even happening? And I thought, Laura's got to get out of here. I ran back toward the house and realized she'd already gone. She had the kids and the dogs and a goat in my SUV and had already driven down the driveway. I found out later through smoke and flames, because the flames were going across our driveway. And got out of there, and the kids are screaming, and they were afraid I was going to die because they didn't know where I was.
Oh, man.
But there was one point where I had gotten a long hose over, and I was spraying on the field and the trees that were on fire, trying to keep it to cross our driveway, because I just felt if it crosses our long driveway, we're doomed. Which turns out the fire department said, yeah, if it had gotten across your driveway, I think it wouldn't have stopped until it got to road. I'm not going to give the name.
Yeah.
Like three properties down and a mile down. He said, I don't think we'd have stopped it until it got down there if it had crossed your driveway.
Yikes.
And I'm standing out there at the hose and I'm just trying to get closer and closer, and it's hot. I mean, the flames are hot and I can't breathe. And once the wind turned and I got covered with smoke and I kind of put my head down and I'm holding the hose, and then I realized I can't breathe anymore and I got to get out, and I didn't know which direction was out.
Ooh.
Then I'm kind of stumbling around and everything like that, and it's just black. And I look down and part of my tennis shoes are melted, and I'm trying to figure out how to get out of here. And then I just stumble far enough and I'm coughing and I got the hose and everything like that. Well, then this fire chief vehicle comes flying down the driveway. He just comes out of the smoke, which I later realize that was probably the scariest thing that happened the whole night. The most danger we had. Because my wife drove blind down the driveway in the smoke, and the fire chief told me, he said, I took a flyer. I didn't know how long your driveway was, where it was on the other side, but I couldn't see anything. If they had at the same time been going 35 miles an hour and hit head on, that would have been, that was the biggest,
Jiminy.
That was the biggest opportunity for disaster right there. I mean, and it was 3 minutes apart, maybe at most. I don't even know how long any of this took. I think the whole thing lasted 15 minutes, but it seemed like a lifetime. But when I was in that smoke with the hose, I've only had that feeling a couple of times in my life where I thought, this might be it. This might be it.
Yeah.
This might actually be. And I know that's what people think before they die.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever read The Perfect Storm, there's a whole bunch of people that survive drowning. Some of them die and come back to life, and Jesus is like, or think they're going to die. And that is what people think before they're going to die. Mm-hmm. Wow, this might actually be it. And then it is it. People you know died, that's what they were thinking before they died. But anyway, I was thinking, this might actually be it. This might actually be it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got out of the smoke and was able to get enough air to breathe, and I thought, we might actually lose our place here. This might actually happen here. And you know, and I was kind of, at first I had a bit of a feeling of what do I grab? And I thought, ah, screw it. It's just, there's no time. And what the hell difference does it make anyway?
Right. Right.
But I got the hose on the trees and stuff like that. And I feel like with the hose, I will tell you, if you're ever in one of these situations, a hose does a lot more good than I thought it would. I was thinking, is this ridiculous? Is this going to do any good against this roaring fire and the wind and everything like
that?
Just a regular garden hose. It actually was making a dent. I could tell. So it's worth it if you're ever in that situation.
It's not worth catching on fire, but...
No, it's not worth dying over.
Right.
But
yeah. If you can safely do that, yeah.
But I think I kept it from spreading that direction, and then the fire crews with their big trucks and tankers were coming from the other way, and eventually they got on top of it and got it out, and it kept popping up various places, and we'd run around with hoses and try to put it out, and I don't know how many vehicles there were total there at the end. 8-10 vehicles, 30 people, something like that.
How much you burned total, do you suppose?
It was 2 acres, which, you know, if I heard on the news about a fire, 2 acres, I think, okay, that's nothing.
No.
Two acres, that's big. And the thing is, it's on fire at once.
Yes.
The 2 acres on fire at once is a lot of flame and a lot of heat and a tremendous amount of smoke.
Yeah.
Laura showed me a picture she took from the fire station of her house, and I thought, holy cow, that's what it looked like while I was inside it. And it was, you know, it's just, if it had been a windier day... And I told the fire guy, I said, I think if we'd have gotten at this 10 minutes later, it'd have been over. He said, oh, yeah, 10 minutes later, there'd have been no stopping it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just amazing stuff like that happens in your life.
Well, growing exponentially, like you were describing, 10 minutes is forever.
I was talking to the fire guy later. I said, I do broadcasting for a living. I said, if there's anything I could do where, like, I go give speeches to homeowners or something like that and explain to them, like... I thought I knew how fast fire moved and what a big deal. No, you have no idea. It goes from, oh, it's a little fire over there in a corner, to you can't control it in a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And then it's, you're going to lose everything you've got in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing. And it was a windy night, but nothing compared to the kind of wind we often have. And that was another lucky thing. If it had been one of those really windy nights, no stopping it. No freaking chance.
Wow.
And there were goats running around, and dogs running around, and I don't know what we were going to do.
I've got to ask you, Laura grabbed the one goat. Do the other goats resent that? Are there going to be goat morale problems? Is the one goat going to be looked down upon by the other goats?
A goat coup.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was one of those.
Oh, like, here comes the king of the goats, they'll say, is the one goat.
I think it was one of those. She didn't even know what she was doing at the time, just like throwing stuff in the car.
Yeah, they saw a living thing and grabbed it.
They couldn't get a hold of the dogs. Dogs were running around like crazy, and Sam tackled one of the pugs, and and they got and got it in the vehicle, and they're all screaming and crying, and... I'm glad she took the initiative to drive out when she did, because it got so much worse so fast. I ran back to the house and say, you've got to go now. But she was already gone. Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be damned.
It's something. I can't imagine what it looks like if it gets bigger than that. Cause it was hellish. Just hellish. It took me so long to calm down from that.
Well, I can't imagine.
Near misses are so... I've almost had motorcycle wrecks before where I had to pull over and sit down on the curb for a while to, like, gather myself before I could drive on.
Yeah.
And this was like one of those.
Well, and you went to sleep in the very place where, you know, the craziness had happened, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's... Man, you sleep with one eye open and both ears.
Oh, I did. I had the shades open and I kept waking up looking out the window to see if it started back up again and... Gee, oh, God, it was something. It was absolutely freaking crazy. Those volunteer firefighters, though, they were good at what they did, and thank God for them. And I don't know if I sent them a fruit bouquet or gift cards. Or I don't know what you're supposed to do in that situation, but holy cow. Without them, I'd have been doomed, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah, that's noble work, man. Volunteer firefighter?
Oh, yeah.
Heck, yeah.
Whew.
Wow. Well, glad everybody's all right. House still standing, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I got a mower. That burnt to nothing. We had some boxes for UPS had delivered, some big boxes full of stuff. Laura's not sure what was in them. She's going to have to check the tracking or everything. They're just gone. There's no evidence that they ever existed. And I had a mower parked over there, like a string mower. It's like a $600 mower or something like that. And it's just, some of the frame is there. Because those fires get so hot.
And it's metal.
And it's metal.
Wow.
They get so hot when the wind's blowing, and it is just gone. I don't know if I'm going to make a claim on the insurance or even try. I don't know. I haven't figured any of this out yet. But.
Right.
Like I kept telling the kids as we were going to bed and trying to calm down, you know, everybody's fine. Everybody's fine. And yeah. that's fine. We'd get new stuff. If everything disappeared and burnt down, we'd get new stuff.
Yeah.
It'd take a while, but the important thing is everybody's fine.
Next family lecture on fire safety, they'll have attentive listeners, I have a feeling.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Wow.
Jeez. I don't know what you'd do. Have a giant tanker truck parked on your property.
It's excellent advice.
That might be if you could afford it. Good Lord. Anyway.
Or just live on rock. Nothing but rock. All
I don't know how.
Gravel.
I don't know how long it'll take me to calm down from this. Like my heart, I feel like my heart rate is still elevated from it. I did so much running around, a man at my age and in poor shape, running from here to there and getting another hose and trying to get it together and stuff like that. And I just breathe this hard and I'm covered in smoke. And my shoes are hot. And it's freaking crazy.
That's good you didn't have a heart attack. Don't bother with a stress test at the cardiologist. There's no need for one.
Armstrong and Getty.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.